Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are here locked and loaded. Is that a good thing?
Yes, and I can hear myself, so obviously the microphones are working.
Testing 1, 2, 7, 9. Melissa, how in the world are you? You just blew in here from northwest.
Something, yes, northwest El Paso, where there was no breeze.
Really?
It was nice. It was very comfortable. I get up here and I get out of the car, and it's like the door tried to kill me. So,
well, welcome to the Windy City, otherwise known as El Paso.
El Paso.
Well, it's an interesting day here. We're going to do history no matter what.
That's right.
Here we are at 690 KTSM, as we always are, doing our thing. Got this here live radio show, and we do tell people Texas history begins in El Paso. And you know why?
Why?
Because it do.
Oh, it does. Okay,
it does.
That's a good thing. Yes.
That's a good word. It's a better word.
And where did it start?
Well, it started somewhere here in El Paso, and I think it was when they crossed the river.
Yes, I think it did.
DJO, Don Juan de Oñate, crossed the river, and they didn't name that location with the canyons. They didn't name that.
No, they didn't.
El Paso. It was the crossing of the river, the pass across the river. So that's what got put on the maps, was to cross the river. And so now that's what became El Paso. Oh, enough of that.
That's
we
that.
Can find us wherever they can, including 690. And now what else?
Then go to ktsmradio.com, and they can click on the iHeartRadio link, and they can listen to us all over the planet.
Well, that's a good thing. Trivia today. Oh, yes. I know you have trivia.
Yes, we got lots of trivia. We're always being trivial. So this is a really good thing. We've
oh,
got some
and
great
scratch
questions.
Out 25. Scratch out 25. We ran all out of all those.
Okay, so we have none?
20. No, we have 20.
Oh, just 20. Okay. We have $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's in Canutio, the wonderful New Mexican food up there. And we also have El Paso Gold DVDs. We have, oh my gosh, we got all, well, we got 2, 3, and 4 of the
ghost.
El Paso Gold ghost stories, especially as we're getting
season.
Closer. Yes, we're right up there to Halloween real quick. So you've got those. We have Legends of El Paso's Mountains. We got the historic sites and markers. Christo Rey, which I think is quite appropriate.
What appropriate.
And
yes,
Tom Lee's El Paso. So that's it's a good, they're all good videos.
And Christo Rey's appropriate because we're going to be talking about that this month. Oh, but also just going to ask you, what's the history moment?
Mm.
Oh, lunch at Pepe's. I can't make it today. You can't make
either.
It today.
No, I'm going to be out at Concordia hanging out with dead people. So
I'm going to go over there
fun.
And hang out with you and your dead friends.
That's right. Okay.
But the history moment.
Oh, the history moment's about a Texas Ranger. He's given to his moniker, which was he was polished in his pursuit of the ne'er-do-wells and a dapper dresser in his day. And he's buried at Concordia Cemetery.
You were reading that. You didn't know that from memory.
No, I had to read that
the
one.
The dapper dresser part.
Dapper
you,
dresser.
You like that part.
Yes, and I like the ne'er-do-well, too. So.
There you are. Well, and that's not a good segue to talk to our next guest, because he's not a ne'er-do-well.
No, he's
He's
not.
A here-do-well.
Yeah, he's a here-do-well, yes.
Not a ne'er-do-well.
Hair-do-well. He's got nice hair.
He's a preacher besides that. And his name is Ruben Escandón
yes.
Jr. Good morning, senor.
Good morning, Jackson and Melissa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here. You're bright and shiny this morning.
Well, up early this morning, ready for the day.
Well, yeah, do you have to get up early sometimes to go do your weddings?
Early weddings are not acceptable. We don't do our weddings before 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, right,
good
is early.
Yes.
Okay. So Ruben Escandón Jr. is here, the man who has a job now of his created business. The name of your wedding business is?
From This Moment Wedding Ministries.
And what you do is marry people.
That's it. All kinds of weddings. We do chapel weddings, location weddings. I even go to the bridges. I had two at the prisons yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And that's something that's really increasing.
And you went into the prison and they let you out?
That's it. That's
yeah.
it. I have a get out of jail card.
Even better. But Ruben Escandón is also the man who is in charge of the information, shall we say, about Mount Christo Rey.
That's right.
That's an unusual mountain.
It is. It is. It has its history, and it's, of course, has been there for 79. Well, the mountain's been there for ages.
45 million years.
That's right.
Yeah, that thing popped up 45 million years ago out of nowhere.
But yeah, way more before, long before Oñate got here.
Oñate just barely made it in the timeline. But Oñate went right by there. That's a very historic mountain because of what has gone on around it.
Right.
And now what's on top of it.
That's right.
And so for those who don't know, explain it.
Well, what's on top is a monument to Christ that was built in the 1930s. It was finished in 1939. And, of course, over the ages, our committee and our group has taken care of maintaining that monument.
The Mount Cristo Rey Restoration Committee.
That's right.
Because you're always restoring it.
That's it. We're restoring and maintaining. I think that's what, maintenance and kind of keeping it going for future generations has been the goal. But it's a constant, constant battle. I mean, this the last couple of months has been ridiculous.
Why?
Well, because we order, material, the screening that goes on the road to cover up potholes and the stuff that washes away. And then we had a big torrential rainstorm in that area.
I was thinking about that. Yeah.
Oh, my. And we had to go back up there. And it takes the crews, at least 3-4 days to get it topsoiled, covered again. And then it just rained again the other day. So the crews are up there this morning. As a matter of fact, the guys are there this morning. I'm on the radio. They're out there working, shoveling. You know how that is.
Do we know how management works?
I tell you. But they're up there today. And of course, they're getting everything ready for next week's pilgrimage. And of course, it's the 79th annual pilgrimage
on Sunday. Next week, Melissa.
It's one thing. It's like, why would somebody want to put a cross up there? I mean, who could come up with this idea? Just like, let's just put a statue.
Well, wasn't it the Pope?
Well, it was a call from the Vatican at that time during the Depression, Depression era, that they wanted to bring pilgrims close to the Catholic Church again and bring people closer to church. And he put out a call for the parishioners and churches around the world to draw people in. And a lot of them decided that they would do monuments, that they would do some kind of attraction, something to bring people back together. And here locally, we had the calling of a local priest that was assigned here to the Smeltertown area that had the vision of building this monument up on top of this mountain.
He was whom?
Father Costa.
Father Costa.
Costa, right.
Lourdes
Costa.
And so that guy, he had the vision. He looked out the back window and said, well, there's a peak of a huge, little interesting little mountain over here. Why don't we put Jesus up there?
Well, what came first, though? I mean, did he say, yes, we're just going to put a statue up there, or we're just going to put a cross, or what? I mean, what was
the vision? The vision that he had, and the story goes. I mean, I got the story early on. Of course, grandparents, and I'm a third-generation volunteer myself, along with several of the groups and the guys that are up there. But the story would come as that, he was a parish priest that was sent here from Shafter, Texas, the Marfa area, and he was assigned here, and that he had this vision. He wanted to build something. He wanted to do something in answer to this Vatican's call to build a monument. And the story was that he was looking out the window of his home, which was there at the church, San Jose del Rio Grande, right there in Smeltertown. Mm-hmm. And he had this vision that he saw this mountain, and he pictured a monument to Christ up at the top of the mountain. So at that point, he discussed it with the congregation, and of course, everybody thought he was crazy about putting some kind of monument on top of this. And then they didn't know where the property or who owned the property, if it was still in the U.S., if it was, right, because it was right on the border.
It could have been Mexico,
right,
for all they knew.
Mexico, they didn't know.
So he was going to do it anyway, wasn't he?
Right, I think that was the idea, and he pretty much took it upon himself. And Father Costa, Padre Lourdes, everyone knows, was very stern, very.
Did you know him?
He baptized me, and then he passed away right after that. I don't know if there was a coincidence.
Again, you wiped him out, dude.
I wiped him out, probably.
That was it. He couldn't take it anymore.
but that was it. I was born in 65, and I think in August they baptized me I think I was baptized in October, and he passed shortly after that. So I never got to meet him other than that.
Well, how big? They put a wooden cross up there. How big was it?
There was a 12-foot wooden cross initially, and that was taken straight up the mountain, and it was built. And we knew that they had built this wooden cross, but we never knew the history up until a few years ago that I was having lunch with my Uncle Tony. Uncle Tony's 96 years old.
And Tony was involved.
Right. He was an altar boy. He was an altar boy. He was there the time that Father Costa had this idea to build this cross. And I learned of it having lunch with my dad and Uncle Tony sitting at the kitchen table. And he turned to me and says, hey, did I ever tell you the story about that cross? And I said, no. So I flipped my phone on and started recording him.
Cool.
Good.
And he started telling us a story that he was, that they had mass on a Sunday morning. And during mass, he told all the gentlemen, all the people in the congregation, He told the guys, all the men, to bring their work clothes next Sunday because they were going to build something for him.
Oh,
oh boy. So they all brought their work clothes, and he had a bunch of lumber stacked back there in the behind the church, and he went apparently he went back there and told them, this is what I want, and they built a 12-foot wooden cross. The following Sunday, they got together, and he told them that we're going to climb up to that mountain, bring your shovels and picks, and they dug a hole and stuck that cross up there on the top, which was the first actual recorded pilgrimage that they made. So that was pretty, you know.
What year?
This was 33.
Wow.
1933.
Wow.
So can you imagine,
though? Oh, yeah.
No warning. Let's just do this.
That was it. And my Uncle Tony says that when they left the church that morning, they had left church, Mass had let out after he had told everybody, and he was driving down what was Paisano now towards Donovan because they were actually, he was also doing Mass up here by Anthony. He used to double up and give Mass at that church over there. So as they're driving down Paisano, he was pointing at the mountain itself, and he says, up there, you guys see this? I said, this is where I'm going to put this cross, and they thought it was hilarious. He says, oh, he's gone crazy now. But here it is, you know, and he got his vision, you know, got the idea put into place.
And so that was the beginning, but it's turned out to be, how would you characterize the monument now? How tall is it? How big is it?
It's evolved, well, not evolved, I guess the idea for him evolved over the years because it wasn't necessarily what he wanted to see.
He wanted a big one.
He wanted something bigger. And then he enlisted the help of the vocational school there at Smeltertown.
All the guys worked at Smeltertown, most of them, right?
Right, and then the students there that were going to the vocational ironworks class, he got them together and gave them an idea to build an iron cross.
Oh, now you got to take that thing up
there. And so they went up there, and they substituted that wooden cross, took it down, and they planted a cement base, and they built and erected this 35-foot iron cross that was
I didn't even know about that one.
Oh, yeah, there was another
cross interim.
After that.
The interim.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But it still wasn't what he wanted. And he wanted something bigger.
And didn't the wooden cross, the pieces end up somewhere? You found them or something?
Right, the wooden cross was found. Unfortunately, it was kind of destroyed at the time, but there was, and that's, you know, been gone. But we had located it for a while, and then all of a sudden it disappeared.
So the evolution of the monument at the top ended up with a 33-foot high. How high do you
with
say
the base? It's 46.
46 with the base.
Right, with the base, and it's a 12-foot base. So, you know, it's a pretty big monument there.
And it's carved, maybe not blonde limestone, but light limestone.
It's right. It's Cordovan limestone that was hand-selected by the sculptor.
What's that word? What kind of?
Cordovan.
What does that mean?
Cordovan is a color, I guess. It's a type of color that's
like
a tine.
Like Cordovian leather. Do you realize that kind of color?
He found that down near Austin, Texas. He was looking around for where to get some stuff.
Right. That's, and Monsignor Costa is the one that actually reached out to Urbici Soler, which was the Spaniard, the sculptor who came from Mexico City. He got the telegram from Lourdes Costa, Father Costa, to come to El Paso. He had a project for him, and they had apparently met in Europe somewhere, maybe in Spain, that they had met before, and enlisted him to come to El Paso to work on this project, and he accepted.
And he lived down in the canyon area down there, right, in a small little house for a while?
Behind the actual mountain itself, towards the what exists now as Artovinos, in that area there.
Wow.
Amazing. And I guess Artovinos wasn't really cooking up at that early moment. They came along a little bit later.
Right.
In the 40s.
Right.
Interesting stuff. El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey is a thing, although it's in New Mexico.
Yes.
And Texas.
And why is it El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey?
Well, it was built by El Pasoans. It was built by the people of Smeltertown and the surrounding areas around Smeltertown, Buena Vista.
All El Paso.
And it was El Paso, and it was people that...
And
it was owned by the Diocese of El Paso.
The Diocese of El Paso included southern New Mexico.
That's correct. At that
so
time,
it was it was Catholic jurisdiction of El Paso.
That's correct.
And that broke up in 83?
In 82, the Diocese of Las Cruces was created.
And so then they took it over, and they sort of like don't care about it as much as the guys in Smeltertown.
Well, I don't think... Yeah, exactly. And I don't think there's a connection, you know, that their families worked there, that they built this monument with their hands and the work and effort that went into it. So, I mean, for New Mexico, it's of course a Catholic shrine. It's a shrine to San Martin de Porras, which is there in Sunland Park. And with that, you know, it's just part of the kind of the stepchild, you know, of the church itself.
We'll talk about after the break here. We got to take a break here. We'll talk about the maquette and what happened to it and how many parades it might have been in. I know it went downtown at least once.
Right.
I've seen pictures of it. So interesting story here of El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey. And we're going to do some trivia about that.
Yes, we are.
And we have a caller now. Is that caller for us or is that trivia? We should go ahead and do the trivia. What do you got here? Well, wait a minute now. You got to put him on hold if I'm going to put him on the radio. So that's a required 3, 2, 1. Hey, Vince, how's it going? Where's Vince on the radio? Sergio, ¿dónde está Vince?
He's in the air somewhere.
Sergio, where's the phone call? It's on the air now. 3, 2, 1.
Vince.
We're not going to have Vince? Tell me what I'm doing here, Sergio. Normally, we don't fly quite so blind.
It's the ghosts at Concordia.
Well, let's put Vince back on hold and see what happens here. Sergio, tell me something. Where are the phone calls? Vincent, you there? Okay, put it on the air, please. It's not on the air. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh,
there
hey,
he
now
is.
Look at here.
He can count, too.
Yeah, Vicente, we found you. You're counting out in the wilderness there.
He can only count to 3.
Oh, that was it. That's all we needed. So, Vince, what's going on?
Who are you going to bury? Yeah. Oh, that's good. What?
Oh, my.
Ah.
So it goes, all right. And that's open. The gates are open for this event today, the Walk Through History, at 11 to 3. And it's a donation. It's like $5. If you have 10, throw that in. And you're also going to have some gunfight reenactments, as you say, but also there's a food truck or so.
Yeah, we're going to have a food truck.
And that's because the spaceship came over last night. And no, that's something else. But no, that's because you dug them up. Okay, fair enough. All right, Vince, that's going to be all day today, starting at 11 to 3 at Concordia Cemetery, and that is at Boone and Travis and Yandell, somewhere over there. Go find it. Boone and Travis and Yandell. It's in one of those streets. Thanks a lot, Vince.
See
Talk you to
shortly.
You later. We'll see you again. We can take a break here. We got to do trivia at this point. What are the questions for about Mount Crystal Ray?
Yes.
You have some?
I do. I have 2 of them. Okay, the first question is, what was the first structure placed atop Mount Crystal Ray? And who was the priest whose vision it was to place the statue of Christ on top of Mount Crystal Ray?
Oh, and I've got a third one.
Uh-oh.
Well, if we have that many callers, I have another one ready to go.
Okay.
I mean, I did the video, El Paso's Mount Crystal Ray.
Yeah, so I think you have a few.
With Mr. Rubin over here, and the facts have not changed. So we can get this right if we get it right. All right, but we have a caller already calling in, but they can all still call us on another.
If you got another answer.
Magic number.
That's right, 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features 3-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
I'm beginning to believe that other than love and religion, nothing changes your life more than moving your credit score 120 points. I'm John Hope Bryant, founder, chairman, and CEO of Operation Hope, and we're working to expand and lift up your credit scores. Operation Hope is partnering with major financial institutions to bring hope inside to places where you shop and flock. Through the Hope 700 Credit Score Communities Initiative, we are helping people with free counseling, loan originations, modifications, and more. Go to OperationHope.org today. Nothing changes America like a role model. I had one growing up. My name is John Hope Bryant. I wear a suit today because my dad wore a suit when I was growing up. But kids want to be rap stars, athletes, and drug dealers all too often because that's what they see in their neighborhood. My mission now is to give them something different to see, and you play a role in it. It's called America 2020 and Hope Business in a Box Academies. Go to OperationHope.org today and join the movement to make school cool once again. Visit us on the web at OperationHope.org.
Smith couldn't get out of bounds, and the clock runs out.
No! What was that?
That was a bad play all around.
You know what else is a bad play? Voting for Yvette Harrell for Congress.
Who?
Yvette Harrell. When she was a state rep, she got $500,000 in state contracts.
Oh, that's a selfish play.
Wait, she was supposed to watch over our money, and $500,000 of it ended up going to her own company?
Yep. Then Harrell didn't disclose the profits until she got caught.
Man, that's shady.
Very. Harrell also helped lead this controversial D.C. lobbying group at the same time she was a state rep. She spent thousands on all these trips for them, and guess who paid for it?
Us.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Man, she's only in it for herself.
I know. Even her fellow Republicans say she can't be trusted to look out for us.
So, game over for Yvette Harrell.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's the game. Paid for by DCCC, DCCC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. DCCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm voting in the midterm elections because
my constitutional right,
because my ancestors died,
and to make it better for my children.
The women before me fought endlessly
so we can remain free,
helping the community out.
I'm voting in the midterm elections because
I know every vote makes a difference.
My opinion matters.
I vote in the midterm elections.
To register to vote, go to IamAVoter.com. And don't forget to vote Tuesday, November 6th.
Sponsored by iHeartMedia and the Civic Culture Coalition.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
A lot going on. Callers on hold. We'll deal with that shortly. We got prizes of Pepe's food for $20. And a DVD or two, including one Mount Crystal Ray, is in there. So you get yourself ready here. We'll talk to you in just a moment. There is so much going on in El Paso. We have to just start reading this stuff. The Waco Tanks Interpretive Fair is today and tomorrow. They're out there cranked up doing stuff, as long as Concordia, in, as we talked earlier. But the thing out of Waco Tanks is it's free to get in. Mm-hmm. Interpretive Fair, they have people explaining everything. And today and tomorrow, it's going to be a very interesting look at stuff for free out there, so I hang out there when you can. And it's tomorrow, I believe it starts at 8 a.m. They got stuff going on all the time out there for this weekend. But coming up on the Thursday, October 25th, stargazing. Go out there and do stargazing at Waco Tanks. Then Ghost of the Ancients at Waco Tanks on Friday. So Thursday, Friday are active. Saturday, the 27th, Junior Ranger Program. And then a birding tour coming up also Saturday. Get a hold of them because they've got lots going on out there. And you can find them online. Just Google Waco Tank State Historic Site, and you will find these people. What do you got?
Well, I've got coming up here October at the tramway. Though the tramway itself is closed, the base of the tramway is still open, and they've got a Halloween fest and sidewalk sale. And this is going to happen on the 27th, which is going to be a Saturday, and it'll be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they're going to have a snake and creepy crawlers exhibit and a carved pumpkin contest all at the same time. And they'll be selling souvenirs and collectibles and tram memorabilia, so that'll be a fun thing to come out so the parents can shop while the kids are doing all these other great things.
And they may be getting rid of the store items. If you want one, this might be your
chance. Yeah, this is exactly what they've got, all this great stuff there that you can buy. Christmas is coming. And then also October 28th at 8 a.m., they're going to have their last Sunday hike, and it's going to be a Halloween hike. Their monthly guided hike this time will be hiking the Thousand Steps Trail up the hill, and you're going to have to come back down the hill. So does that make that a 2,000 steps up and
event.
Down?
Yes,
yes. And so it'll be meeting at the Thousand Steps Trail, the North Stanton Street. So that'll be their last one for the month.
a lot of stuff going on there. And whoever wins the Powerball tonight, buy the tramway for us.
There you go. Oh, I would. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Easily. I mean, it's only $7 million. You're going to get $500,000 million or whatever it is.
It'd be mine. All mine.
Well, but give some to the tramway.
Oh, I would share. I'd share with people.
You go up to chair, man. Oh, we're doing trivia, right?
That's right.
We got Ruben Escandone sitting here as our judge of trivia of what goes on. So let's talk to somebody here. Oh, let's go to – hey, Rick, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Rick. Okay, you going to answer the first one?
What is it?
Okay. Okay, well then I'll give you the question. If you've been taking notes, you should be able to answer this one then. What was the first structure placed atop Mount Cristo Rey?
Yay!
Boy, you take some great notes.
And our judge over here, Ruben, says yes.
We got a winner.
We got a winner.
Well, thank you. Well, super.
We try. We'll see what happens. Every week is a different week.
Okay, so did you want the Pepes or did you want an El Paso Gold DVD?
$20 Pepes. Pepes.
Okay, Rick has the Pepes.
Well, you can't eat a DVD real easily, but you can't. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for that. Well, we try because, frankly, I think people need to know this stuff. That's kind of why I've done it. And Ruben talked me into doing. Well, Ruben talked me into doing a Cristo Rey video. You got to realize, no one will fund a Cristo Rey video. Well, the Catholics say we don't have any money, but if we had money, we'd give it away to people. Oh, yes. Yeah, and he was a contemporary of my Uncle Baxter Polk over at the library at Texas Western College. Yeah, they hung out together. And so Baxter actually helped him get a job at UTEP, because he got a TWC. Yes. Enough, that's more trivia than you wanted to know. And, oh, we lost our other caller. Andrea, call back. We just got through with Rick here, and Rick, Shelley will tell you how to pick up your prize, okay?
Thanks for listening.
Hold on there. Thanks a lot. You take her easy. Shelley, we lost Andrea. Andrea, call back, 544-5876. Ruben wants to talk to Andrea. I can tell.
There you
Andrea.
Go.
Andrea.
You ready for Andrea? But she dropped off here, 544-5876. We shall move along now to a commercial in that case. Oh, let's tell you what. Shall we thank the control room people?
I think we should thank the control room.
There's two people in the control room. One has a phone buried in her head. Her name is Shelley Sutherland. Thank you, Shelley, for burying
thank
the phone.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And for answering the darn thing when it rings. And then the other guy, that would be Sergio Valenzuela, otherwise known as
Sergio Valenzuela.
Does that sound like it? I hope it does.
It does.
He just scored a goal.
There you go.
So, and last week he was a hurricane, so we got over that.
Yes.
Enough of this excitement.
We don't want any more hurricanes.
No, go home with that one, dude. All right, we should take a break here and come back and then talk more about Cristo Rey.
Yes.
And there's so much interesting little details about Cristo Rey you don't even know.
Oh, my gosh. I learned one this morning on the Iron Cross.
There's even more. Call us up if you need to, or Facebook.
Well, I'm working on Facebook right now, so call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-226-1818. That's 800-226-1818. 800-226-1818. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Steve Pierce is disguising himself to get elected. Actually, he's just like Donald Trump. He votes with Trump 90% of the time. In Congress, Pierce voted for Trump's health care plan, which would have thrown hundreds of thousands of New Mexicans off of health insurance and let insurance companies deny coverage based on pre-existing conditions like cancer. Like Trump, he holds backward views on women. Pierce said a wife should submit as a matter of obedience to her husband. Pierce lies just like Trump. He said he owned a party rental business, but it was just revealed it was actually an oil and gas business. He concealed the fact that he made millions from the oil and gas industry while he voted to weaken energy regulation. Big surprise. He votes with Trump, lies like Trump, acts like Trump. That's the real Steve Pierce. We cannot let him become governor.
Paid for by New Mexicans for Michelle Bolsonaro's treasurer.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on. Celebration of our mountains is happening tomorrow. Cacti and other desert plants of the Franklin Mountains. 9 a.m., 2 hours easy stroll along the Tom Mays Trail in Franklin Mountain State Park. Learn about the cactus, talk to a cactus, meet a cactus, befriend a cactus, whatever you want to do with a cactus. But just be careful because they got stickers. It's 2 p.m. It's a $2 event. It's open till 9 a.m., or use your Texas Park Pass. And that's an easy one, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thursday, the Watershed Lecture and Hands-On Activity. That's another one. Carl's Canyon on Saturday the 27th. All of these things are in the webpage, Celebration of Our Mountains, or go just Google Celebration of Our Mountains and you'll find them. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to talk about the walkthrough history because it's a great event. It's a fundraiser for Concordia Cemetery, and it's just a wonderful event to go out to where you can get some great experience in history in a fun and interesting way. You've got people you can talk to that are out there that are the railroad history. You've got law enforcement history of El Paso, which is really great, that's being put on by Harry Kirk and Woody Bear. They've got some wonderful things. Billy the Kid's going to be talking about his history.
Are they dressing up?
I think they kind of dress a little bit Old West. I don't remember now, but you've got the railroad history, which is fascinating. You've got the cowboy and vaquero history.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a train, kind of like a hayride around the cemetery, which is nice. And you've got a lady rancher that's going to be out there, Lady Flo.
Ooh.
Oh, she's really cool. Patricia Wickham does a great job on Lady Flo.
It's almost a real lady.
Yeah, she was a black socialite that was really very interesting for her time periods. I mean, you got the Buffalo Soldiers are going to be out there. They're going to be talking about their history here in El Paso. You know, the other Fort Bayard's going to be there talking about the life of a soldier on the frontier. It just all kinds of mixture of history and how it developed El Paso and the Southwest region. So go on out there today from 11 until 3 o'clock. It's only once a year, and it's just a great way to spend the day. And the weather's perfect for it today. It's not too hot and not too cold.
What address would you send them to?
3700 West Yandel.
And yeah, I think that intersection is Travis.
It's Travis between Stevens and Boone Street by the Spaghetti Bowl is the best place. You can't miss it right there. And it's off of Copia. And it's a, you know, inexpensive, great way to spend the day. And, you know, you can spend just a couple hours there and have a great day.
From I-10, get off at Copia.
Yeah, it's something for the whole family.
And there'll be stuff going on until about 3. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
And it's history, El Paso history.
Yeah,
like crazy.
And you're learning history and not even realizing you're doing it. You're just having such a good time. Everybody always loves it.
It's a good thing. And all right, back to where we were in our reality. We were talking about this little mountain. It's about 900 feet.
Yeah, it's
and
a great little mountain.
Above the terrain, and it was an andesite. What was it? A Peruvian? Hypabyssal. I know what it was.
Hypabyssal andesite pluton.
Pluton. That's right. What it was.
Say that word. Three times real fast.
I did. Ruben Escandone,
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious type.
And it was Senior was also involved in this. Your dad was major in getting stuff done up there.
He was. He was for many years. Dad turned 80 years old this year, and of course he's a couple years out that he handed the reins kind of over to us and to continue doing what he used to do up there. But
I forgot to give away the cups.
I brought in some Mount Crystal Ray souvenirs.
We have two Mount Crystal Ray cups.
Well, you know we've still got breaks, you know.
Let's open up a trivia question just for the heck of it.
Okay. Well, we still have the one left. And you had the other one, who was the priest whose vision it was to put the statue
and
on
you
Mount
get a,
Crystal
you
Ray.
Get a coffee cup here. And it's what is a coffee cup?
Let me do a trivia question for you. Maybe we've got a cap. I brought in a Mount Crystal Ray cap and two Mount Crystal Ray mugs,
right?
Coffee mugs.
I forgot about those. Sorry.
And let's see who would know before we even talk about this. In what year was the actual monument finished? Now, we're not talking the statue itself. There's a base around the crown, and that wasn't part of the initial building of that.
So you don't want to know about the crown date. You want to know about the monument.
Well, no, the crown date, when the crown was completed.
Oh, no, that's hard to do.
Well, a lot
of people
didn't
know that. Well, there was a crown around there, like Christ the King had a crown, right?
Right.
So that was the deal. And before that, you just had a flimsy little piece of wire wall up there.
That was it, just a little fence.
People falling off, no?
Yes, a couple times. Well, people fall off now, but that's a different story.
Okay. If you get up on top of Mount Crystal Ray and fall off, it's because you worked at it.
That's it.
You have to, anyway. But the thing is, Ruben, from on top of Mount Crystal Ray, and you sit there and think of the history that flowed right down that little valley and up that valley.
Right.
All of Oñate's, all of his activities went right below that mountain.
That's right.
And all the Spaniards, everything.
Everything. And that mountain was used as a beacon, as a guide for people to come up. Right. So they would see that mountain and come around the side and of course, follow that trail, which now with the religious icon that's there, you know, it draws people from all over the region. And we get visitors from all over, and I'd say the world, because we do have people that have come over from Germany, from all over the place, that come to visit. The sad part about this whole thing is that, you know, security is always an issue. And after, you know, the robberies and the stories and everything, you know, we just had our law enforcement meeting this past week, and that is getting together with all the agencies that will be assisting for this big pilgrimage coming up next week. And, you know, I'm always asking Border Patrol, do you get any reports of robberies? And they say that people come up and they say, yeah, you know, we have encounters up there, but nothing, you know, no, I guess, injuries or anything like that reported. Sunland Park PD, of course, is the major agency that helps us on that day. So they're out there as well. But you know, no, we haven't had any reports of any incidents. And it's good because, you know, that's the one thing that keeps people away is the threat of something happening to them up there.
I've had a couple calls in the past, and I always refer them to you, that tour groups that come into Keystone, because we're just down the road from you. What do I suggest them besides calling you about if you get groups that want to take a tour up there, a private tour?
If there's groups, we're doing something a little bit different. Since this is a kind of a, you know, we're part of the church, but we're self-funded, you know, for anything that we do up there. We're not funded by the church. You know, we get very little help, if any, from the church at all, and we're talking the diocese. But one of the things that we do is we raise our own money to improve the trails, to keep, you know, continue the maintenance up there. Anytime that we do something, it's kind of self-funded. So what these tour groups call us, and if it's a large enough tour group, if it's a commercial venture, then we set up a fee and say, look, you have to make a $250 donation, and we'll provide at least a couple of guards up there and maybe a porta potty if you need one. You know, so we can work something out like that. We never used to do it, but now because the need is there and we have more groups coming up there, then we do have, you know, different groups that come up and they'll offer to pay. So oftentimes we'll take a donation. We say you make a donation to the committee, to the restoration committee, and all the proceeds go back into the mountain. So anything that we raise up there during this annual pilgrimage, we sell these souvenirs, we sell the caps, the T-shirts, the mugs, you know, the different things that have the images of Mount Crystal Ray. And that's how we support ourselves. That's how we support everything that we do up there.
Okay. Give me the phone number because I want to put it on the website along with, you have a website or a Facebook page?
Both. We have mountcrystalray.com, and that's mtcristorey.com. And then the Facebook page is actually on Mount Crystal Ray Restoration Committee.
And what's the phone number?
915-252-9840.
I'm sorry, say that again.
915-252-9840.
Yeah, I've got to show my computer.
Or 9840.
There we go.
9840.
That's another, that's a different one.
Right.
No, it's not. Okay, Ruben Escandon, you got an interesting history here with this mountain, and I think you have an interesting future as well. Now, if you hit the lottery, are you going to put in a tramway?
Well, that's always been the hope, that we hit the lottery, put in a tramway, pave the trail, put lights up there, but you know how that goes. And actually, you know, I said after the 75th anniversary, which was 4 years ago, I was supposed to retire. And I'm still here. You know, that's
not going to happen.
That's not going to happen, you know.
And also, you have all kinds of history to talk about up there. What went below the mountain, it used to be Mule Skinner's Mountain for some reason. I don't know why.
Right, Cerro de Muleros.
Yeah, and so that was known prior to the church getting its hands on it.
Right.
But that was the beacon for people coming out of Mexico. They could see that little mountain and say, okay, if I go head toward that, I'll be in the USA. And it's right adjacent to Smelter.
Right.
So a lot of people would show up and just hop the river and go work at the smelter.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing. You know, when they came to this area, of course, the draw was the work that they would find at the smelter. And they came, and a lot of them came from Chihuahua, from Santa Rosalia and all those areas there. And they, you know, they settled in that area. So they became a big part of the building of Cristo Rey when Father Costa had that vision. And of course, they're the ones that established it. So our volunteers, most of the volunteers that we have now are descendants of those. We're somehow, you know, there's at least 40 volunteers, and I think we're all related in some way.
You probably are.
We probably are.
Because, and also you had the church that Father Costas was in when he had the vision. Is that the one that was up on the top in the smelter, the higher ground, or was that the one down?
No, that's the top one was the one that burned. That was Santa Rosalia, and that was the one that burned. And then it was rebuilt down at the bottom.
It burned at the smelter. I can't imagine why.
I know.
It was adjacent. There's actually a little bit of its foundation still stuck out of the side of that hillside.
Right.
You can still see it. If you drive down Donovan, you look over about where the old Big Stack used to be. Because it was right adjacent to Big Stack for a while.
It was right almost at the base there on the side.
Yeah, and the proximity was just amazing.
Right.
And so as the smelter needed the space on top of the El Alto, they sort of kicked all, and there was a store up there. There was housing up there. Sure. There was a Mexican village up there. I mean, they had management housing.
A lot of families that grew up there in that. As a matter of fact, I just had somebody reach out that was telling me that they lived up in the upper part in the Alto, and his dad was a manager at ASARCO, and I'm asking him for pictures. I'm trying to get some pictures,
gosh,
and he says, "Oh yeah," he says, "you know, my parents always had pictures."
Okay, if you have pictures of Mount Cristo Rey, call Ruben 252-9840.
Right,
and he won't steal them from you. He'll just copy them.
We'll just scan them and give them back to you. Exactly, or you can just email them to me, and that would work too.
Well, let me ask you, how long have the pilgrimages been going on? Ever since
the first one. The first one recorded pilgrimage was in 1933 when they first made that trek up there to put the wooden cross up there. And then a few months later when that iron cross was put up, and then it became something that every year that they would do. So over the years, this is actually from the finished monument, this is the 79th annual pilgrimage.
It's the same thing. And
from that point on.
Do you have people coming from the Mexico side to come over? Because I know it's kind of difficult to get to the base. Well, or is it that difficult to get to the base from the Mexican side?
Well, I mean, it's open terrain. It's a desert area. But, you know, after 9/11, the Homeland Security blocked off that south side with agents during these
pilgrimages
along
the base.
But they don't come up.
There is no border wall there or fence.
Border fence, right. It's a mile and a half of open fence. You know, you see the fence running all the way from, well, you don't see it from San Diego, but it runs all the way from San Diego in that valley. I mean, all the way to the valley, the Rio Grande Valley, but right behind Cristo Rey, there's a mile and a half of no fence.
Yeah.
So people that want to come in, it's a major thoroughfare for smugglers, for you know the drugs and everything else. Human smugglers, you know, there's a lot of activity.
Yeah.
So Border Patrol saturates that area now, and that's the one thing. During this pilgrimage, they'll man the actual backside of the mountain, and they deploy agents back there to keep people from coming up. But they used to come up. We used to have a ongoing joke before 9/11 that, you know, we used to have a pilgrimage with 500 people and 550 would come down, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And people still try to do that, you know. Unfortunately, they do get around there and they try to mix in, but Border Patrol's always up there.
It was a regular thing at one point.
It was a regular thing.
All right, we're going to take one more break here. Ruben Escandon, pick a Pepe's here, would you? This is today's Pepe special that Ruben's about to pick.
And it's the Chile Relleno Plate.
The Chile Relleno Plate is the special at Pepe's today, which means it's $6. No matter what's on the menu, you get it for $6. That's special. See, even everybody back to Oñate thinks that's a wonderful thing. That's why we call it the Oñate special. So
there you go.
Ruben is in the house for a few more minutes. Next hour, we're going to talk about markers, historic markers in El Paso, with a couple of folks from the Historical Commission. They do the markers, and it's
that's
under
right.
the state of Texas mandate.
And that's not with a magic marker.
No, it's a money marker.
Yes, a money marker.
It costs you to do that. All right, coming back in just a moment. Facebook us or call us. And, oh, by the way, 2,500 people have seen our advertisement, our promo for Mr. Ruben and the marker thing. That's a lot of people on Facebook. So
that's right.
And tell the phone number, what the hay.
It is 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
At the Rides Auto Group at I-10 in Yarborough, we've always loved the military. Our relationship with Fort Bliss has always been, how can I say this, blissful. Myself, I was never able to get into the military. I was classified as 4F, which means in case of war, I'm a hostage. Something you might be too if you go anywhere other than the Rides Auto Group for your next car, truck, or SUV. They've got great financing at Rides. They got me financed when I was just a caddy at a miniature golf course. And trust me, my credit was no good after my wife and I split up. It was tough to stay married. My wife would kiss the dog on the lips, but she wouldn't drink from my glass. Now, Rides sells everything, especially sports cars and trucks, because girls go wild for sports cars and trucks. I once dated a girl that was so wild, one night she gave her number to the mechanical bull. But you won't find any bull at the Rides Auto Group. Just straight talk and straight deals. So call 915-629-7433. The Rides Auto Group, where you'll get a lot of selection and a little respect.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
That's just bull.
Spooktacular, brought to you by the Junior Women's Club of El Paso, happens Saturday, October 27th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the El Paso County Coliseum, 4100 East Paisano. Join the fun and bring the kiddos to Spooktacular for free arts and crafts, a haunted house, rides, and a pumpkin patch. Don't miss the costume contest at 2 and 6 p.m. Adults just $5, kids 3 and up $4, and ask about the military discount. It's Spooktacular, October 27th.
Protect your world. Get your flu shot today at Walgreens and receive a coupon to earn a $10 reward on your next purchase of $30 or more. Reward valid on future purchase. Vaccine restrictions apply. Terms and restrictions apply to coupon.
Hey, Matthew Berry here. That's right, the fantasy football guy. But you know what? I'm also a huge movie fan. That's why I created Fantasy Movie League. You pick real movies each week to fill your virtual theater. Then you compete to win movie tickets, swag, and more. Visit fantasymovieleague.com/iHeart to start playing today.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com. For DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got Ruben Escandone for a couple more minutes. We'll talk about things on the mountain of Cristo Rey. And next hour, we're talking markers for the Historical Commission. And they have a program that you, if you want a marker in front of your house, you yes. can get one if you're historic. If you are historic. Some historic people are here now. So they're going to talk history in next hour. So that's what we're doing. Real quick, this is interesting. Sunday, October 28th, the Art of the Paintbrush, 2 p.m., and that is at the International Museum of Art. And the admission is free. Call them up, 543-6747. Lubia Titovits. That sounds like a soup or something. That's a woman. But she also has 30 years of experience doing painting. Her husband, Alexander Titovits, he's got his professional career of 35 years. They're going to be hanging out at the International Museum of Art on Sunday, October 28th at 2 p.m., and they're talking about all kinds of interesting art stuff there. Then they move to November the 8th. They will be at another event. They have an exhibition of their artwork, and they're hosted by the 12 Travelers Board. And they will be showing off their work at Pepper Tree Square, the former Charlotte's Furniture, 5411 Mesa. And what they're going to do is they're going to auction off, they're going to sell some paintings and give a portion of it to the 12 Travelers. So that one is on November the 8th. 282-5105 on that one. And it should be an interesting thing with the Titovitzes is going doing their thing. And we should move on to Reuben, I'm thinking here. Should we do that? Reuben, the mountain is open next week at what time for what purpose?
The annual pilgrimage is next Sunday, the 79th annual pilgrimage. We open the gates actually at 6 o'clock in the morning.
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow, and people start climbing up. Now, most people come up and they start parking after 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's okay, but we urge people to wait until we have security in place, and then we officially open at 6.
And it's dark.
And it's dark outside, so if you see the little flashlights start climbing the mountain, the bishop will get there, one of the bishops will get there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he'll lead a procession up to the top. They pray along the Stations of the Cross, and then when they get up to the top, usually around right before 12, we'll start Mass right at noon, and we'll have a Mass up there at noon.
It's an interesting event up there. I've been up there a couple of times.
It is, and we usually have a lot of people. Depends on the weather. One of the things that we're concerned with this year is, of course, the traffic. You know, we don't expect I-10 to be closed, and that there's no indication it is going to be closed, but Paisano is going to be closed.
Oh.
And they close on the 26th, so we're not sure if they're going to open it up that weekend or if it's a whole weekend thing to shut down. So for people to get there, best route is to get up on Sunland Park, or you come down McNutt Road on the opposite side, the west side, and then come down to 273 McNutt Road, and you'll see the entrance there. We'll have police officers directing traffic in there.
Or Google it and see what Google's telling.
That's right. You Google number one, Crystal Ray Road in Sunland Park, and it usually takes you right to it.
All right. Reuben Escandon, Jr., the mountain is an interesting thing known as Crystal Ray.
It is.
Great history, and it's a Catholic shrine.
It is a Catholic shrine, and we're also calling out for volunteers. Anybody that would want to help us volunteered up there to work on weekends. You know, we have a group now that's showing up to help us, which is we're blessed to have this group. They're retired Border Patrol agents.
Ah.
And, of course, it's a benefit because they know the area. They know the terrain. They're ex-law enforcement.
They're probably armed.
And they're probably armed. And, you know, they are armed. I'll tell you right off the bat, they are armed.
They are. Yeah, I would think so.
So with that, you know, they're it's a big help. We've got, you know, so
great
all the retirees are now helping us out, too.
But also, I would think a volunteer group, like a scout group that needs to have hours for their community service.
The older scouts, maybe. You know, we've got some Eagle Scout projects that have worked up there, you know, and
that'll
things like
work.
That. That'll work. But the little kids, I mean, it's really tough, you know, to get them to work in what we need
to
do.
The Eagle Project is what I was thinking.
Some of the older scouts may be something good. Community service, you know, if you need community service hours, you come out here and help us on a weekend, I'll sign off on your hours.
There you go.
You know, so there's a lot of things that we can do. Donations are always welcome. If you want to donate some water, bring us a few cases of water, you know, to have up there, we can certainly take that as well.
Well, we didn't give away your cup. You want to leave us one cup for next hour?
Yes, sir.
And we'll try to give it away next hour.
There you
we
go.
Have a mug here for coffee. And I think you sold a hat to Melissa.
Sold a hat?
I'm not sure. All right, Reuben Escandon, thank you for being here. Good luck on the mountain a week from tomorrow.
Thank you guys for having me.
Indeed. We'll see you all next hour.
See you all next week.
Next hour.
That's right.
We got to talk monuments and markers and stuff like that. See you after the news. Thank you.
Next hour.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
It's Saturday, October 20th. What's new today on the free iHeartRadio app?
iHeartRadio!
Check out our podcast, iHeartRadio Presents Inside the Studio, featuring a brand new episode with the legend.